All right, so why don't you grab your Bibles? Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. I want to talk about anxiety today, and I want to talk about your value. And anxiousness and God's solution to it. Anxiousness and anxiety seems to be a common component in the world today. A lot of people endure it. A lot of people suffer from it. And God addresses it. And God addresses it through His Son, Jesus Christ. And this is a stark and very deliberate and direct address. And the way that God addresses it is wonderful. God addresses it through Christ by a determination of your value. That's how He will address the issue of anxiety. And it's just, you could just see God's heart just illuminating through this. And so we're going to get into that today. So we're going to start from verse 25. We're just going to read to the end of the chapter really quick so that we can get the overture of what we're going to get into. And then we'll go back and then we'll start hitting it from precept, line to line, ideas from there on forth. So I'll start in verse 25 of Matthew chapter 6. And I'm reading the ESV, and it says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to this span of your life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." And I want you to go back to verse 30, where it says, "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of what?
Little faith."
Little faith. The little faith people, right? Now, we all want to be these great grand titans of believing. We all want to stack in the Hebrews 11, you know, hall of faith, right? We all want to be that guy. But Jesus Christ says, this is for the little faith people. And a lot of people, if they're honest, they endure being concerned about things. They endure and suffer having a sense of anxiousness in their life. But God gives an answer to that, and He gives it here. So what I want you to bring your attention to here in this section is God working in threes. There's three things He tells you not to do. There's three things He tells you to do, and then there's three things that He does, okay? So, first thing He tells you not to do is in verse 25, He says, do not be anxious. Second thing He tells you is in verse 31, and it's, do not be anxious. And the third thing He says is in verse 34, and it's, do not be anxious. And that's Jesus. This is Jesus Christ talking. This is literally the instructions for what you're not to do. He doesn't tell you to not do anything else but this. He tells you, don't be anxious. But instead, these are the three things He tells you to do. He tells you to look in verse 26. He tells you to consider in verse 28. And He tells you to seek in verse 33. Okay? So don't be anxious. Three things. But what do you do instead? You look, you consider, you seek. All right? And then three things that God does is God feeds, God clothes, and in verse 32, God knows. So, we'll start again from the top. So, verse 25. It says, "Therefore I tell you, Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not your life more than food, and the body more than clothing? What is it saying? Who has the King James Version here? Can you read verse 25 in the King James, please?
Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?
Is not the life more than these things? What God is saying here is don't take thought. Don't be worried about these things. I don't want your minds preoccupied with these things. You know why? Because life is more than these things. Life means more than these things. Is not life more than raiment? Is it not more than clothing and food? And if God's going to provide those things, he wants you to be preoccupied with something else, not these things. Right? The idea is your life is more than this. Your value is more than this. Your pursuits need to be more than this. Because life means more than this. Life means more than food. Life means more than raiment. It's more than clothing. There are things that are more important than these pursuits, right? And so God says, don't worry about them. Now, of course, we're going to see God says, don't worry about them, because he's saying, I'm going to take care of that. And why does God say that? Why does God say he wants to take care of it? So that you can think about the things that life is really about. Because it's not about raiment, and it's not about clothing. But if he's taking care of those things, what is it about, right? Good question. I'm glad you asked. Verse 26, look at the birds of the air. So what he says here is life is more than these things, right? Is not life more than this? So he's giving rhetorical questions. Then he says, instruction. Look, in King James Version, it says, behold. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap or gather into barns, and yet your Father feeds them. And then he makes a value judgment. Aren't you more valuable than birds? If God takes care of birds, and he fully provides for those things that mean less to him, you mean more to him. Does it not logically follow that he will provide more fully for you? Yes. Yes, it does. This is a logical argument that Jesus Christ is putting together, right? Jesus Christ is saying, look, behold the birds of the field. And the birds are like the gluttons of the animal kingdom. Right. They're fatties. They eat way more food relative to their body weight than most other animals. And God takes care of them. Jesus Christ, in a sense, is saying, look at the rest of the created beings. Are they taken care of? There's a surplus of bananas to a monkey populace, right? There are way too many bananas. Way more bananas than there are monkeys, right? And Jesus Christ, when he's saying this, he's saying, consider what's around you. God has provided for these things, and these things mean less to him than you. Will he not much more provide for you? Yes, the answer, rhetorically, is yes, right? Yeah. Amen? Yeah, amen. All right. So, and he says, look, but I like the word behold in King James Version, because it doesn't say, oh, look, there's a pretty bird. It says, behold, perceive what God is doing with the fowl of the air, just as a metaphor, as an example for the provision that he will more fully provide for you because you mean more to him. Look at the birds. Behold the birds. And a good thing to know about this section too is this is Jesus Christ talking. This is Jesus Christ talking. And you're getting a snippet right now into how Jesus Christ walked around in his life and how he considered things. When we go outside and we see the birds of the air, we might say pretty bird. When Jesus Christ goes out and sees it, he says, there's the provision of my Father. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? Consider the birds, the fowls of the air. Jesus Christ sees, well, they're taken care of. I mean more to God than that. I'm going to be taken care of. And so will you. And so you're getting an insight to how Jesus Christ is looking at God's creation, right? And how he's looking and how he's perceiving, and the little memorials he puts up in his head to remind him of God's greatness when he sees the things around him. And that's why he's going to go on to the next one. Verse 20. Where are we? Seven. Thank you. Are you not of much more value than they? Verse 27. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? All right. What does it say in the key? King James Version, please.
One cubit unto his stature.
Right. So this is kind of the ironic statement, right? Worrying about my height doesn't make me taller, right? No matter how anxious I get, no matter how much thought I just offload into being concerned about my height, doesn't make me grow an inch. Doesn't make me grow a centimeter.
Really?
Right. Sorry, Ed.
You're good, Ed.
We still like you, Ed. But thinking about your height and being worried about it and meditating on it don't make you taller, right? So this is to try and show you just how stupid worrying about stuff is. There are many challenges, but I don't know if there's any other challenge other than fear and worry that is so unprofitable to the end of finding a conclusion of benefit. All it does is stand against you. Oh, it adds nothing of benefit to the end of finding a conclusion. In fact, anxiety happens when we stop praying to God and in a sense start praying to ourselves because we're thinking and mulling over, how am I going to do this? How am I going to make this happen? Buck stops with me, oh my goodness. And then all of a sudden, anxiety starts to boil up and then you start feeling concerned. And then all of a sudden, you're just wrecked psychologically and intellectually and the problem is still not fixed, right? Who by worry can add one cubit unto their stature? Now, you got to remember, this is Jesus Christ. This is how he thinks. He looks at the birds of the air and sees God's providence. He knows his Father. He looks at the Word and sees God's providence. And then he says, well, I'm not going to worry because God is good. Let's continue. Verse 28, and why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, the great and mighty Solomon, in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the ovens, will he not much more clothe you? So God clothes the field with grass. He clothes the field with beautiful lilies. And the fields are more majestic in nature. They're more arrayed with glory than Solomon in his prime. And Solomon was so rich at one point in his kingdom, they threw silver out on the sidewalks because it was no longer a currency. That's how abundantly arrayed Solomon was. And Jesus says, Solomon ain't got nothing on the fields. And you know what? The fields ain't got nothing on you. That's what he's saying. He's saying the fields are less important to God than you are. He's making a value judgment, right? That logical premise to lead to a logical conclusion. If he does this for fields, if he does this for the birds, are you not more valuable than sparrows? Are you not more valuable than they? Knowing and understanding of your value before God frees you. Understanding your value before God is what destroys anxiety. It's the perfect love that casts out fear. It's the recognition that Jesus Christ gave his life for me and I am truly saved and I am worth more than many sparrows. That's what conquers anxiety. And you know why people deal with substance abuse problems? You know why people deal with pornography addictions? You know why people deal with a blatant and horrifying fear of rejection, a low understanding of their value before God. You'll sell yourself cheap if you don't know how valuable you are. But don't worry, you're worth more than many sparrows. Are you not of much more value than they? You see how God is answering this problem of man, right? He's answering it with a recognition of how he looks at you. This is how I see you. You are super valuable. Therefore, don't worry. If the birds are taken care of and the fields are taken care of, you're taken care of. All right? So do not be anxious. Where am I? What am I talking about? All right, verse 29. Or verse 30. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, the idea is that it's so insignificant, yet he still provides for it, right? Today it's there and we go, ooh, pretty. And tomorrow we throw it in the ovens to heat our clay ovens, which would have been the ovens of the time of then. And it's so insignificant, but it's still provided for. That which is significant to God, which is you, will be more fully provided for, right? Will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? You know, I always want to be seen as a Hebrews 11 Titan believer, right? But lying is also a sin. And I am at points in my life the little faith person. And I thank God for Jesus Christ in sections in the Word like this. Because I deal with anxiety. But this isn't about you coping with anxiety. This is about you defeating anxiety.
Amen.
Right? This is not about you living with it, learning how to endure it, and it's going to be a challenge for the rest of my life, but just we'll fight fair and we'll even the playing field. No, this is about dominating it. This is about having victory over it by considering how Jesus Christ walks and considering the Word in Jesus Christ's solution to this problem of anxiety. Now, again, you get another look. When Jesus Christ is walking through the world, when he's looking at the birds of the air and he's looking at the fields arrayed in all their glory, what's he thinking? God provides. This is how he's walking around. What's that verse in Romans 1? From the creation, we can clearly see that there is a creator, right? Mm-hmm. Right? And so there are them without excuse. But yet you also see Jesus Christ's heart. While he's walking around, I mean, Colorado Springs, I think, is a wonderful, beautiful place because we get to see this. I look out my window, and I'm looking at the peaks, and I'm like, man, look at the handiwork of my Father. Look how mighty those mountains look. And then Jesus Christ, when he's walking around, he's thinking about this, and then he correlates it to himself. He says, if the birds are taken care of, and the fields are taken care of, and the grass is taken care of, and all these things are more insignificant, he uses it as a preaching tool to teach God's people that they are much more valuable, and they will be more fully provided for. Right?
Right.
We're all on the same page here?
Yes.
Okay, good. Therefore, do not be anxious. All of this embedded in Jesus Christ just very lovingly, in a logical argument, and in a value judgment, in a value argument, just trying to place the thing, you are valuable to God. And if he takes care of those things that are not valuable to him, or less valuable than you are, then he's going to take care of you. Okay. Verse 31, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So seek first these things. Why? Because your life's more than raiment. Your life's more than clothing. And if you don't have to be preoccupied with thinking about that stuff because God's got you and he's going to take care of you and provide, what things can you think about? His kingdom and his righteousness. And pursuing after those things rather than being preoccupied with the other things. Because God is good and he loves you. And if the birds are okay and the fields are okay, you'll be okay. And there's no need to be anxious. There's no need to be worried. This is just a big do not worry section from God to his children, to his people. This is a big do not worry section. Right? Let's go to Matthew 10. Really quick. And while you're flipping over there.
Matthew 10?
Yeah, Matthew 10. While you're flipping over there, I want you to think about about the birds of the air and Jesus Christ saying, are you not of more value than they? Matthew 10. I'll go on verse 29. Does anybody want to read?
I'll read.
Go ahead, Ma. Can you read verse 29 to 31? That's fine.
Matthew 10, verses 29-31. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are more value than many sparrows.
I like that. It's like, just in case you didn't think that the question was rhetorical in Matthew 6, are you not of more value than birds? Just in case you were like, well, I'm not sure, he doesn't say. Here he says, don't worry. You're more valuable than many birds, right? Okay. You have more value than many sparrows, right? Now, people love me, but nobody has gone to the ends of counting how many hairs are on my head. I mean, Jessica has tried. But that's an indicator of God's love. This is how much attention he pays to the things that are valuable to him. There's a verse in Proverbs that says you're the pupil of his eye. You're the apple of his eye. And that word apple is actually the word pupil in Hebrew. And it means that the small center circle of your eyeball, that means the fixed point of attention. The thing that is always in the center of the mind's eye. So you are always God's fixed point of attention. And God is saying, I've counted the hairs on your head. And yes, it's easier for Jim because he has less hair. Yes, we get it. Right? So, and maybe, well, I'm not speaking boldness over myself in the name of Jesus Christ. But and when I get older, if I do start to lose hair, maybe it'll be easier for him. But the point is, who knows the number of hairs on your head? Who pays that much attention to you? God does. Don't worry. You're worth more than many sparrows. You're worth more than many birds. Therefore, fear not. Which is another way of saying, therefore, don't be anxious. Don't worry. For you are worth more than many sparrows. It says, what is it? And are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? A farthing's like a penny. You literally get two birds for one penny. So God's making a value judgment on this. God sees the sparrow. There's another verse that says he sees the sparrow fall. He understands that. What's that one great Christian hymn? His eyes are on the sparrow. Right? And these farthings, these birds, you buy two of them for one penny. This is how little their value is. And God still knows what's happening with them, still provides for them. Don't worry, you're worth much more than many sparrows. Okay, let's go back to Matthew chapter 6. God is so good. Isn't God good?
Amen.
He loves us so much. And it's good to see how Jesus Christ thought about things, right?
Yeah.
How he walked around, what he used as a symbol to him to remind him of the Father, right? I see birds, I see fields. The providence of God, right? I see their value, and then I see mine. I mean, what a way to live life. Driving in your car, walking around every day, just looking at stuff and being like, look at the provision of God. Look how God provides. And then using that to just strengthen a constitution of faith inside you as you walk throughout your day. It's a wonderful way to live life. And that's how Jesus Christ lived. Okay, so, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, verse 33, and all these things will be added unto you. Interesting, right? Don't worry about these things. Seek God, pursue him. Yes, you have responsibilities in these areas, but don't let these areas of life become your point of worship, right? Don't let these areas of life be the things that you're chasing after first and foremost. Yes, you have stewardship responsibilities. Yes, you're accountable for some things, but don't let these things take first place. And when God has first place, when he is sought first, his kingdom, his righteousness, all the stuff is just poured on. All this stuff is added unto you. And I think this is why Jesus Christ brought up Solomon. Solomon arrayed in all his glory. How many of you know about the conversation between God and Solomon, where God goes to Solomon and says, make any request and I will give it to you. And what does Solomon ask for?
Wisdom,
because who will discern before thy people? Who will judge your people, God? I ask for wisdom. And God says, because you have asked this, and not for honor, not for riches, not for the life of your enemies, and not for gold and capital and land, guess what? I'm giving you wisdom, and I'm giving you everything else. You know why? Because Solomon sought him first. What was he asking for? He was saying, I want wisdom. I want your wisdom, Father, because your people need to be judged, because your people need to be led. In a sense, he was saying, I'm seeking first your kingdom and your righteousness. And then God says, because you have done this, you'll get my kingdom, you'll get my righteousness, you'll get my wisdom, and I'll give you everything else. That's why Solomon is brought up, I think, in this section of Matthew 6. Because he's the perfect example of somebody actually doing this, right? Look, the field is clothed and is arrayed with more glory than even Solomon. And then we go, well, why does he bring up Solomon? And then you think of, oh, wow, because of this, right? So Solomon is a living testimony of that. And so, in light of these things, verse 34, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. For sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The future, tomorrow, has got enough, like, baggage in it to deal with itself. You don't have to deal with it today, okay? Just give your heart to God today. That's kind of what it's saying. Tomorrow's trouble and evil is sufficient for its day, not today, that day. So seek God and don't be anxious and don't worry. You're worth more than many sparrows, which I think is really funny for Jesus Christ to say. Let's go to Philippians 4:6. Is this making sense? Everybody following?
Yes.
Okay, good. Just really quiet. It makes me nervous.
Don't be anxious.
I guess I deserve that. All right, Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will protect and guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Do not be anxious. Instead, do these things. Don't do these things. Don't be anxious. Do these things. You know, the world tries to attach anxiety and worry and concern as a characteristic of nobility to something. Like, it's because I love something. It's an expression of love to be overly concerned about something, right? That's what the world does. But God is love, and he tells you not to worry. God is love, and he says don't worry about it. Instead, do these things. Instead, seek me first. Instead, be thankful. Instead, look at the fields and look at the birds of the air. Look at the provision that I have given all of mankind, and let that peace guard your heart and watch me provide. The idea is we have a God who takes care of us, that his responsibility is to take care of us, but our responsibility is to trust him. And the question is he trustworthy? Has he proved it? But that's not even the real question, is it? The real question is, have you proved it? And this is the confrontation here. The confrontation is, have you proved God in your life? If you have, truly, what the hell are you worried about? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And then conversely, if you haven't, that's why you're worried. That's the point. That's the point of the section. If you've proved him, if he is trustworthy, and we remember that, if we consider and look and remember that, what the hell are we worried about? And we'll draw to a close. So in verse 26, go back to Matthew 6. One of the three things that God does, verse 26, says that, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more value than they? Yes, you are. God feeds you. Verse 31 says, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For these things the Gentiles seek after, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So God clothes and God knows in verse 31 and 32. God feeds and God clothes and God knows. But God does it in a supernatural way also for us, right? It's not just physical food. It's not just physical raiment. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Who wants to read Matthew chapter 4, verse 4? Show of hands, please. Dad, you can read this one. Jessica, you'll read the next one. Dad, can you read Matthew 4, 4?
Matthew 4, 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Awesome. So God doesn't just feed us with physical food. He obviously does that. But you get spiritual food. Spiritual food which will sustain you and strengthen you for eternity. Yeah, I mean, supernatural provision for his children. Why? Because you're worth more than the birds. All right? God clothes. Honey, can you turn to Isaiah 61, verse 10? Can you read that, please?
My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and the bride adorns herself with jewels.
Awesome. So God doesn't just clothe you with physical clothing. He clothes you in spiritual garments, the garments of Christ. And he clothes you with that supernatural clothing that will sustain you for eternity. It's amazing. He clothes you with this, and then, finally, God knows. And that's really the point of it. Because God knows. God provides. The word provide is an interesting word. It's a Latin word made of two words, pro and vide. Pro meaning before, vide meaning vision, or sees. It means God sees before. So God sees before your need. He anticipates it. And he's there, waiting to give that need for those who will seek him. That's why we seek him first, his righteousness, and all these things are added, because God already knows. In fact, in this section of Matthew 6, he's talking about prayer to his people in Matthew 6 in the beginning, and it says, pray like this, and you know what? Your Father already knows what you have need of. But he still asks you to pray. Mm-hmm. Why? Because he's still asking you to access him and seek him, right? Mm-hmm. Because he wants to be invited in. He wants a humble people to come to him. Mm-hmm. And those who know their value before him lovingly and reverently run into his arms and aren't worried. God does all this because you are of more value to him than all other created things. That's in Ephesians 2:10. Don't worry, don't be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Ephesians 2:10 says you are his workmanship, created unto good works that he has preordained for you to walk in. Now, if you're not preoccupied with the things that the Gentiles seek, which is food, clothing, and raiment, I mean, the Gentiles seek out food so much, they don't even eat food anymore. They just take pictures of it and post it on Facebook. So much they seek after it. But if you're not preoccupied with these things, what things can you be thinking about? Right. About your value before God and the good works that he has before ordained for you to be a part of. Mm. You can be about those things. We can be seeking out God in those ways. We can be seeking his righteousness out on those ways. And that's what our minds can be preoccupied with. That's what our pursuits can be preoccupied with. That's what our hearts can be preoccupied with. And I love that Jesus Christ is saying this, right? Because Jesus Christ is saying, you're worth more value than many sparrows. And I think he's doing this in a kind of a tongue-in-cheek, sarcastic way. Because Jesus Christ knows what he's going to do. He knows our value to God, which is why he lays his life down. Mm-hmm. Now, what's your value? Your value is Christ's life. So when he's saying, you're worth more than many sparrows, I think of it in his kind of way, being kind of a sarcastic jab, right? Don't worry, you're worth more than many sparrows. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What is your value? Your value is Jesus Christ. Now, because of that, don't worry. Don't be anxious, but seek first. You are worth the giving of his Son to God, so that he could have you as his own, because you are precious to him. That's your value. Now, once you know your value, you don't have to be worried. And once you know your value, you'll never sell yourself cheap for anything else, because you know who you are. And that's how God addresses anxiety. With his Son, with his scripture, and with your worth, a value judgment. One that he bases in contrast to birds, fields, and all the other things he takes care of. And you mean more than all that. Right? Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Isn't God good?
Yes, he is.
Awesome.
Amen.
I mean, that is my teaching. And so that's what I wanted to share with you. I love you guys. God loves you more than me. I'm not even going to attempt to count the hairs on your head. So, but God is good. You are good. Let's seek him and his righteousness first. Yeah.
Amen. All right. Thank you.